Manny Montana, my boy Willie Mon. This is our first attempt at this. This is our first show. We don't have a name. We don't have any background. So if this becomes a thing and we continue going with it, just know that you've seen the first one. So congratulations to you. And me and Will love boxing. Well, Will's a way bigger fan than I am. I'm getting into it heavily now for the last 5 or 10 years. This dude could tell you every champ, every up-and-comer in every division. And we sit and argue about boxing all the time. Not always argue, but we debate.
Most of the time
we're going to fight each other at the end of it, but it's all love. And we figure, why not put some mics in front of us and see what happens. So here we go. What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
So we got the Tank. No. We got Theo and Lomo fight coming up this weekend, correct?
Yes, sir.
Let's just get it out of the way. Who do you got?
Oh, my gosh. So
give me an answer.
Running through my brain, so many thoughts right now. No. The smart money is on Loma. He's tried and true. I have seen Loma live. I saw him against Gary Russell. I guess this would have been in 2015, 16, somewhere around there.
How'd that fight go?
He waxed Gary Russell.
What round?
It was a decision, but okay. Gary Russell was undefeated. He was the guy at that weight class, and Loma at the time was coming off a loss to Orlando Salido. Do you remember that fight?
He lost.
Technically, he lost.
Oh, you're talking about, sorry, my head went to Theo. Yeah, Lomo. Yes, I did see that with like 5 low blows, clear low blows.
It was 50 low blows.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, Orlando Salido decided to use his dick as a speed bag, and he was just, and the referee did not call it, which cost Loma God knows how many points. I mean, he really could have been disqualified. So Loma was coming off that loss. Yeah. Gary Russell was the guy. He was the premier guy they were building up. Had he fought great opposition? No. But yeah. Loma made him look stupid, man.
Like he does with everybody.
Yes. I've never seen a fighter look more confused in their corner because I'm going to sound a little sketch here, but we snuck down to ringside. So we were probably about 5 rows behind Gary Russell's corner. And you can just see it on his face. He came back to the corner looking like, what the fuck have I got myself into?
Yeah.
And Loma just had an answer for everything he threw at him. And surprisingly, he was faster. And if you know one thing about Gary Russell, you know he's Sonic the Hedgehog with the hands.
Yep.
It's speed. And the fact that Loma was able to outquick him, outthink him, it seemed like he was just a split second ahead of everything he did. That was really where I fell in love with Lomachenko.
Yeah.
And it's tough for me to pick against him.
That's what's tough about Lomo is that, just like with Mayweather, when you get in that ring with him and you get that slight inkling of like, this motherfucker might be better than me.
Yeah.
That immediately you lost the fight.
You lost
the fight because he's doing, like Lomo's doing this against Jorge Linares, Rigondeaux.
Nicholas Walters, don't forget about that.
Yes.
Nicholas Walters beat the hell out of Nonito Donaire.
Yep.
He was known as the boogeyman of that division, and he made him quit.
Yep.
He didn't just beat him by decision. Nicholas Walters said, fuck your shit, I'm out, and just bounced.
It's the moment where I was, because you told me about Loma first, so I'm watching Loma, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he's amazing, but does he have any power? And when he hit, he made him, Rigondeaux, and all these people quit. Rigondeaux quit as well, right?
Yeah.
I'm like,
face an injury.
These are fighters that I love and respect, and you're making them quit. It's the same thing with Mayweather. Like, people, you could talk shit all day about Mayweather. I get it. If you're like, if you just want to see a slugfest, totally get it why you don't like Mayweather. Totally. As a purist, the shit that he does is incredible. The way you can just be in the corner, shug somebody off, and be in complete control, it's unheard of. And if you've ever sparred, put on gloves, you know what I'm talking about. It's damn near impossible to do so. Like, me and my little brother Mark spar all the time in the garage. And, like, when you're in the corner, I just cover up. Like, there's nothing you can really do unless you're an elite-level boxer. So the way Lomo can do that to people and make people quit, dance circles around them, it's incredible. So with this, I got to bring Theo back into this argument. Theo is just, I don't want to say a freak of nature, because he's just super athletic. He's very quick. He's powerful as hell. He's got a lot of charisma. He's super marketable. He could be that guy if he wins this fight. So, and you said this the other night, if he wins this fight, he's going to be up there with like the top 5 face of boxing.
Yeah, and what I worry about with Theo is the weight. If you look at Theo, that dude probably has to cut about 25 pounds to 30 pounds.
Oh, really?
If you look at his chest, you look at his calves, he's doing a lot of cutting. So I wonder, with the era we're in with coronavirus and everything, is he able to train to box, or is he trying to lose the weight so he can box?
What weight class is he normally at?
Well, he's fighting at the weight class he's normally at now, yes. But he's been talking about moving up the last three fights because the struggle to make weight has been real for him.
He's 23?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I think, though, what I'm reminded of when I think about this fight, and these fighters aren't necessarily as similar style-wise as Lomachenko and Lopez, but I think back to when Jeff Lacy fought Joe Calzaghe.
Okay.
In that, you have a big, explosive athlete who has been knocking everybody out, who's coming in with a ton of hype. Obviously, Lomachenko doesn't have the work rate Calzaghe had, because Calzaghe was known for pity-pat.
Right.
That's not Lomachenko. But what I do worry about is when you've been so explosive, so dynamic, every big contender that's come your way, you've iced them. What happens when that person is 10 inches from you, you can't hit him consistently?
Right.
And you eat a counter. And what you were saying, and what people don't realize about fighters like Mayweather, Lomachenko, these other fighters that are known as defensive fighters, when they counter you, this shit hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're out of position, and it may not look like a big punch, but these guys know exactly where to hit you to make it hurt.
Yep.
And it doesn't look like much on camera, but it's enough to deter you from getting wild in there.
Yep.
Will Loma be able to hit Lopez enough to stop him from coming forward and stop him from cutting the ring off?
That's right, dude. Because most fighters, like, their true Achilles heel is that ego. So if you're being countered, it don't matter if they don't have that much power, man. Your ego starts getting bruised. You hear the crowd. Granted, there'll be no crowd because of COVID. Or will there? They're starting to let people in
yes,
to Texas, right?
I think it's a small crowd.
Texas.
And another thing, too, is, like you said, the embarrassment. You see a lot of guys in between rounds looking up at the big screen and seeing themselves eat these shots, and they know the home audience is seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
They get angry. They get emotional. They're human beings just like everybody else.
That's right. And how do boxers... Most boxers are shit when they're angry, man. You can't fight that way. It's not a fight.
Yeah. And you have a big adrenaline dump when you get angry.
That's right.
You get in there and you start throwing too many punches. Now you're breathing heavy. You already can't catch the guy, so now you start getting embarrassed really bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Nicholas Walters and Ringendahl quit.
That's right.
So is Lopez going to be able to understand that, hey, there's going to be three or four rounds at the beginning where I'm losing the fight. He's kind of taking me to school, but I'm going to keep cutting off the ring. I'm going to keep throwing these hard feints. That's what Lopez does really well that people don't give him enough credit for.
That's
He's
right.
not this caveman coming forward going, you know, throwing these wild punches. There's actually a lot of skill to what he does.
You're right.
He throws these hard feints that makes your body get in position to where he can land the shot he intended to land originally.
Yeah.
Will he have that level of discipline after eating all these counters and all these pot shots from Lomachenko after about four or five rounds? Or will he lose his weight?
And see, and yeah, I agree with you. And that's why I like Theo, and I'm choosing Theo for this fight. Just because, for whatever reason, man, there's just certain people you like. And I like how the dude carries himself, man. There are those those rare dudes that can talk shit, but it's charming. Same with Mayweather, same with Ali, same with whoever that can do it, man. It's a rare gift. And to do it, and to respect the sport, because the dude puts in the work, man. You can tell, even we were talking about this the other night, the fight that he had with the tall-ass Asian dude. What was his name?
I think Nishikata or something. I don't want to say disrespectful.
Even, yes.
I don't know his name. I think it starts with the N, though.
Same. He was tall as hell, and he had an off night, so to say. But me and Will watched it, and we're like, I think he grew from this fight. I think he actually, like, was challenged. He couldn't knock this dude out. The dude was very good defensively. And at the end of the fight, Theo shared some info about, like, drama he'd been having with his family. And this is all public, so I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, because I really respect the dude. And what most people don't understand is when you get into a level of professionalism in sports and acting and whatever, you're not allowed to say, hey, guys, I need to take a day off. You know, I have a personal day. Like, you could do it every other job.
Right.
So when you're carrying all this shit in with you, just like Tank, you know, and we'll get into Tank later, but, like, you can't carry baggage into the ring with you because it gets in your head, it gets in your way. And if that's going on all through training, it's a problem.
Right.
So the fact that he could overcome that really impressed me. And he came back, like, his next two fights, or I forget who the dude from Ghana.
That was the next fight.
Well, we were both like, this is his first true challenge. And what, second round knockout. And he got hit with a clean shot in the first round. I was just watching it earlier today. I forget if it was a hook or a straight right. And he ate it perfectly. And just like you were saying, like, his little feints and his little, it's incredible. It's incredible what he does, especially knowing that the fact this dude's 23 years old. So I'm rooting for Theo. I love Lomo. I think it's going to be a hell of a challenge for Theo. But I think the kid's got it. I think it's his time. And I really hope he takes it to the next level. And if he wins, you got to keep pushing, man. It can't be any, you know, like most fighters do. They just start getting overweight. Yeah, there can't be any
soft touches.
Yeah.
And also, lost on this is not the fact that Loma, his last two fights, I sense a little bit of the magic leaving him a little bit. I mean, he's won, and he's won convincingly, but he's not giving people the bewilderment anymore. The skills are just fading a little bit to where the playing field is leveling a little bit between the two of them. And I agree with you that it might be Lopez's time, but I just can't bet against Loma.
It's really hard.
I can't bet against Loma. Yeah. I think, obviously, the punching power, obviously, size of Lopez. The size, Lopez. Mm-hmm. The skill is Loma. It's got to be. Hand speed, Loma. But Lopez is a lot closer than people think.
Yeah.
I also think that one thing we haven't talked about is the big fight experience.
Yeah.
Lopez's biggest fight has been Comey. And he also beat Magdaleno, which was a pretty big fight. But he wasn't fighting Boogeyman. He wasn't fighting Rigondeaux, who nobody wanted to fight.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't fighting Nicholas Walters, who nobody wanted to fight. Mm-hmm. He wasn't fighting Gary Russell, who nobody wanted to fight. All three of these guys were undefeated champions at the time. And Lomachenko went in there, and not only did he beat him, but he didn't lose a round to me between those three fights.
Yeah.
Gary Russell says he won four or five rounds. I saw it in person. If you want to say that, cool, bro. I understand the ego. You want to think he won something. Right. I don't think he... I thought he got shut out.
Right.
So it's going to be a big step. It's such a huge step up for him. I would have liked to have seen, and maybe it's because of the weight thing, he's taking the fight now because he can't make the weight anymore.
Or Lomo or Theo.
I would like to have seen Theo take a couple of fighters in between who he fought last and Lomachenko.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like a Jorge Linares would have been nice. Someone like a Jose Pedraza would have been nice.
Yeah.
Just somebody to test the waters to see, to make sure that you're ready.
Yeah.
I feel like this might be a little early and it could turn into Trinidad Vargas. Where Fernando Vargas is 22, 23 years old, undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tito was known as this vulnerable champion. And he came in there and he got destroyed.
That's right.
That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah.
Because I want Teo to win. But if I'm a betting man, I'm going Loma.
Yeah, man. I respect it more. I get, like, you know, there's younger kids that come in and talk shit and say that they're ready for the Mayweathers. And I always bring up Mayweather because he's my favorite fighter, so sorry. But, like, they come in and say, no, I'm ready for it. And then 5 or so years pass, and they're like, you know what? I needed those little steps that I took to get to where I'm at now.
Yes.
Like, Sean Porter said that the other day in an interview, and I was like, I really respect it. But I feel like Theo is that wild card, man. He just has something, that X factor that can make... That could take Lomo down. So I really want to see what happens. I'm excited about it. I'm a fan of the dude. I wrote him a couple times on Instagram. We've talked back and forth very quickly, but he's a stand-up dude. A lot of respect for him and his family, his new family now. I'm excited for it, dude.
And this he's Saturday. A great guy. You know his mom was his nutritionist?
Nah.
Against the will of his camp, he hired his mom to be his nutritionist. Yeah. Well, you're already struggling to make weight.
Yeah.
That shows you that the guy has loyalty.
Right.
Because you're struggling to make weight. Your mom, who for all I know doesn't have any experience as a nutritionist.
I will say, I saw something on YouTube or Instagram the other day where he was talking about his diet. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's a lot of quinoa, a lot of this. Don't eat rice because it's super starchy. And, like, I don't eat rice for the same reason. And, you know, my diet is crazy, so.
I don't eat rice either. Yeah, right.
But he's eating, like, he's naming all the stuff that I eat on the daily, man. And I had to find a good diet just out of, for health reasons. Like, when I was super young, I just, like, started having a lot of health issues. So my diet needed to clean up, like, thoroughly. So everything that he was saying is stuff that I eat. And I'm like, oh, my God. So the fact that you're telling me that his mom... Mm-hmm. His nutritionist makes me love them and his family even more. So I'm rooting for the dude, man, and I really hope he takes it. Whether it's a knockdown or a decision, I really hope it goes to the dude.
I do think that if he takes it, it's going to have to be a KO.
Damn.
I don't think he can outwork Lomachenko enough to win a decision. With him having to cut so much weight, he's going to have to be the bull chasing the matador the whole fight. When that's the case, you usually don't catch up to the matador until the fifth round.
Right.
And by that time, Lomachenko's banked a lot of rounds. So I do think he's going to have to stop him. And if he's going to stop him, I think it'll be late. I think he'll land something big maybe around the fourth or fifth round. And Lomachenko, let's not forget, Lomachenko's 32, 33 years old.
That's right.
That's the age, right around 31, 32, in those smaller weight classes, mm-hmm. your reflexes start to go just a little, and that closes the window.
Yeah.
Chocolatito is a perfect example.
I was like, what the fuck happened?
Just overnight. And it's not that he's not great, mm-hmm. and it's not an indictment on his ability. Something about turning 30, 31 in those smaller weight classes, yeah. anywhere from 115 to 130 to 135, that gap closes on you so quick.
And it's weird watching it as a fan because you're like, what the fuck just happened? And you're still elite.
Yeah.
You can't lose that inch when you're at that level, man.
You're more apt to have an off day at that weight class.
That's right. Especially if you're not a defensive-based fighter. And that's why, again, talk shit all you want about Mayweather, but the dude was able to fight well into his... When did he retire?
He was 38, 39.
Right. And that's just unheard of because he was more defensive. And you want to talk shit about his fights? Like, watch his early fights and then tell me he was all defense all the time. No.
And the funny thing is, the defense towards the end of his career wasn't the same defense that people were complaining about. That's right. He was more upper body movement. Mm-hmm. There was no foot movement because he didn't have the legs anymore. So you'd be 10 feet away from 10 inches, right. not 10 feet.
Like what?
10 inches away from him, you couldn't hit him.
That's right.
That's all upper body movement and all anticipation.
That's right.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what Loma does. Lopez is going to land something big. It's inevitable because that guy is a dog. He's going to come. Mm-hmm. And Lomachenko's going to have to bite down his mouthpiece and stand and fight the guy.
And that's what I want to see because I've never seen it. I've seen him get knocked down, with Linares. It was a flash knockdown. And I think even Linares was surprised by it. And Linares could freaking punch, man.
Yeah.
I was shocked at that fight. I'm a huge fan of Linares. So, dude, I don't know what else to say about it, but I'm just really excited about it. I hope he pulls off the win because it could be a huge boost for his career. And if he doesn't, heaven forbid, it shouldn't take him down a notch. I feel like still boxers, when they lose a fight, they're brought down a notch. And it's slowly changing. I feel like Porter kind of is the person kind of changing that way because Porter brings the fight every freaking fight, and I love watching him. All of us in this room love watching him. So I don't care if he loses 3 or 4 more. Like, let the kid continue fighting and proving himself and gaining experience.
And that's the thing. Like, if he loses to Lomachenko, I already know it's not going to be for lack of effort. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
It just may not be enough, which I think is still going to broaden his fan base. This fight is not on pay-per-view. It's on regular ESPN. So this
is a
big opportunity. It did that because coronavirus...
Gotcha.
Was really, it's obviously put a lot of people in bad positions financially, and so they wanted to take advantage of that and put it on for free on ESPN because there's been too many pay-per-views already. So they put it on free ESPN. So this is a chance to grow his fan base.
Yep.
And if he keeps coming and he just gets outworked or gets outskilled, I don't think he loses any fans.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to it. I think he stands a great chance to win. I'm not betting against Lomachenko because that guy is a virtuoso. The gloves.
Yep.
And we'll see.
Saturday, October 17th. What time does the fight start?
So we got the pre-fights probably around 6. I'm imagining the main event will pop off at 8, 8:30.
Anybody good on the undercards?
I haven't taken a look at the undercard yet.
Okay.
I do think one of the Magdaleno brothers is on the undercard because I read an article, but I could be mistaken. Okay. But, I don't think they loaded the undercard up too much because it's on free ESPN, so... It's probably a bunch of prospects.
I'm excited about it, man. We'll be watching it at the house, so we might do another podcast that night discussing what happened or the day after, so be on the lookout for that.
Definitely.
Next topic. And this is super big for me, and this is interesting for me because, Tank Davis and Leo Santa Cruz fighting now when they got pushed back.
It's October 3rd. It's Halloween.
Oh, shit. Even better. So, I'm a huge Tank fan. I think the kid's got so much skill. But at least what it seems like on the outside, and I never want to speculate, but at least what it seems like on the outside, that life kind of gets in the way of his career at times, whether it be with his weight, family issues, or, spending extravagantly.
Right.
And then on the other hand, you got Leo, who just seems like a straight-laced dude, very marketable, very personable, and I was able to watch him spar this for his training camp this fight. Motherfucker's good. The motherfucker is a good fighter. He's strong as hell. He's smart. He brings it. Can he do that against Tank? I don't know, because Tank's another one of those dudes that just has freakish speed, freakish power. And when he brings it and he's on, he is fucking on. So who you got for this fight?
He is dynamic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pick Leo Santa Cruz.
Whoa.
Why am I going to pick Leo Santa Cruz?
Oh, because I did not expect that.
There is something in me that says that Gervonta, for all his athleticism, all his dynamic abilities, he's got a lot of Adrian Bronner in him, man.
Yeah, that's so true.
He's got a lot of self-inflicted wounds. Some of these fighters feel that need to stay loyal to where they're from a little too much, and they don't distance themselves mm-hmm. to further their careers. Mm-hmm. And it ends up interfering with what they need to do in their training camps and their personal life to keep themselves motivated. And I feel like Gervonta, from what I'm hearing, is taking Leo lightly.
You think? Oh, yeah.
Leo is not to be taken lightly. Leo is one of those guys that when you watch tape on him, nothing stands out. Mm-hmm. Nothing stands out except for the fact that he throws a lot of punches, but nothing looks like it's necessarily hard. Nothing looks like it's coming that fast. Mm-hmm. But then you get in the ring with him, and all of a sudden that activity is messing you up. And when Gervonta's going to go to load up, he's going to have a lot of punches coming his way. He's going to have to keep resetting over and over. Mm-hmm. That takes energy. And from what I know, Gervonta struggles to make weight mm-hmm. because he lives that life outside of boxing
that
interferes with his training. And especially now, where there's a lot of time to dick around and not do what you're supposed to do and not a lot of opportunity to work out and do the things you normally do. I can't bet on him with all these other things going on. And I saw him not too long ago, and he looked... I mean, fat guy calling somebody fat, but he looked heavier than he should have looked. You know what I mean?
Right.
He looked like he was easily 155, 160.
Yeah, and I sent you some photos, but like people are making fun of him because of the fucking the promotional billboard that they have going on.
Yeah, his face looked like mine on the bill.
I saw his, and I had the thought, like, oh, his face looks a little rounded, but I didn't really dig deeper in that. And then, you know, fucking Instagram and the internet always win. So, like, they're now putting...
Fat Albert's face on.
Yeah, and, like, are just plumping his cheeks up. And I'm like, this is mean. But if I'm seeing it, the rest of the world is seeing it, too. So it makes you wonder. Now, I hope that's not the case because I hope he makes this way and I hope this fight happens the right way to where nobody's giving up anything for extra weight.
Yeah.
But, okay, this is my argument.
Okay.
Please don't hate me, anybody that's out there watching this. I'm looking up, like, Leo's old fights, and I'm watching them, and I'm like, yeah, this fucker's incredible. What exceptional black fighter has he ever fought?
It's a very good question.
And there's a... Yes, look, I don't give a fuck what you guys say, whether it's politically correct or not. There's a difference. There's a difference in fighting styles, quickness. You can be a hell of a... You can be a great fighter no matter what your race. But if you're used to fighting Mexican style, slugging it out in the fucking pocket, in that phone booth, just throwing it, and then you get in with a really slick fighter like Tank, who's quick as hell, is going to move, is not going to let you get set up that way, what do you do?
Right.
What do you do? Do you start chasing now and you're getting more tired and you're out of your game plan? Do you start coming in your shell and trying to counter, which I don't know if that's really his game? So that's my X factor with this. I don't know how Leo's going to react to this because it's a true thing. And, like, Mayweather was, like, sorry, I'm going to keep bringing him up. Mayweather was notorious for this because he always fought on May 5th and he always took out a great Mexican fighter. So what do you do? And I'm watching I was watching the Leo and Abner Morris fight.
Right.
And I wasn't a huge Abner Morris fan, but I absolutely, like, respected and liked his style. And they're in there slugging it out, which made me a Leo fan. But then it made me think, oh, shit, what's he going to do when he gets in there with a quick, slick, smart, strong black fighter? It's different.
That's fair to say. I will counter with this. He's been in there with a slick fighter.
Who?
Carl Frampton. Carl Frampton is very slick, very tricky. Is he athletic
like
Gervonta? No. But that fight showed me that Leo can box. Mm-hmm. He wasn't standing in one spot. They weren't phone booting and rock and sock and robot and That wasn't the case. They weren't doing what people call Mexican style fighting.
Right.
That was a boxing match, and he lost the first fight. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's his only loss.
Okay.
To Carl Frampton, split decision, I believe. Look it up, guys. We've got Wikipedia, but I think it's split decision. He came back and beat him, and it was a chess match. And that showed me another level to Leo that I didn't think he had.
How early was this in his career?
This was recently. This was in between, I think those fights were sandwiched in between the two Abner fights.
Okay.
So it was pretty recent. But what it showed me was that Leo can think a little bit in there and he can make adjustments. Mm-hmm. is he going to have that luxury against somebody with Gervonta's power? That's a tough question. I don't know. But what I also don't know is if Gervonta is going to have the defense and the countering ability to be patient enough to go in between these punches that Leo keeps coming at him with and taking a little bit off those punches. If Gervonta's going to load up and completely try to bomb him out, he's going to lose. You got to take a little bit off the fastball mm-hmm. to land against somebody that throws as many punches as Leo.
Right.
Because you're not going to have time to rev it up, go Super Saiyan, and knock him out when somebody's throwing five punches at you at a time.
Yeah.
So you're that's right. What I think Floyd is going to work on him with is a little more activity. Don't blow your energy as much. Maybe throw 75% capacity instead of 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to conserve your energy. Because this fight, let's be real, it's most likely going to go the distance.
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, Gervonta is more than capable of knocking him out. But yeah. Leo's got a beard on him, man. I've seen Leo take some hellacious shots.
Yeah,
and I think he's been dropped before, but he's come back. He's got a lot of heart. So I do think that Gervonta's going to have to monitor his work rate, not expend energy wastefully
mm-hmm.
to get this win. And that's what I don't know that he can do if he's got the distractions that I think he has. If he's on camera snatching a girl up at a basketball game, which he did. If he's on camera getting drunk and smoking weed with Bronner, like he's done before. Well, I don't know if they were smoking weed, but they definitely were drunk.
Right.
If that kind of stuff is still a big part of his life, he might get embarrassed in there because Leo can expose you.
And a really quick note to that to anybody watching that thinks, man, like, nah, if I was a boxer, if I was a professional, whatever, I would, like, be straight-laced and I wouldn't, like, ever, like, go up and weight. You have no idea what it takes when you have millions of dollars in the, and I don't, so don't assume that, to have millions of dollars in the bank and be like, nah, I'm going to stay in tonight. When you can have any girl, you can go anywhere you want, you can drive any car you want to be like, nah, I'm not going to do all that. I'm just going to stay home and train. Get the fuck out of here.
The temptation is real. There are so many girls dropping in his DMs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what 24-year-old guy or 25, I don't know how old he is going to be able to resist that consistently.
Like, now I'm going
he's
to
the gym. He's got IG models in there.
Right.
He's got all kinds of stuff in there.
Right.
He, in his mind, and in anybody's mind,
mm-hmm.
they're going to feel, hey, I earned it. Let me go on and see what this IG model is talking about tonight.
Yep.
And there are going to be those slip-ups. The problem is, do you know how to properly manage those and still be effective in the ring? Floyd was the best at it.
Yep.
Oh, another Floyd Mayweather. Well, he's the GOAT. What do you want from me? Besides Ali and maybe Sugar Ray Leonard, Floyd's the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
Quote me on that.
I always ask people, even in like normal jobs or other jobs outside of athletics, do you want to be great or do you want to have fun? And that's a serious question that everybody needs to ask themselves in their lives, because greatness requires that you lose out on a lot of fun. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm from Long Beach and, you know, L.A. and Long Beach were... We're Kobe Nation. So Kobe was that prime example of, like, this dude, you just knew he was always in the gym. You never got in trouble besides one time. And it was a big thing, but, like, the dude was always working hard and trying to be the best when he was already the best, and it's just inspiring. So, again, that's why we always bring up Mayweather. But if Tank is training that way where it's just, you know, COVID's going on, so I'm going to stay indoors, I'm going to stay in the gym, then I got my money on him. If not, it's Leo all day, because what I was watching in that in the sparring sessions, I was like, this motherfucker, his punches were like, boom!
Mm-hmm.
And this is with 16-ounce gloves and headgear. And it's sparring. Sparring is sparring. Look, it's a totally different thing from an actual fight.
Right.
But any sparring partner that you're going to come that's coming in to spar with you, they're bringing everything they have because, one, they want to impress you. They want to impress their coach. They want to impress somebody to be like, oh, this is the next guy. He's giving my champ all he got. Okay, I'm going to take him on too.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely. To fight somebody like that for 3 rounds, and then another kid comes in who's just as hungry for another 3 rounds, and then another kid for another 3 rounds, I'm like, this guy was schooling everybody. And I'm like, he's amazing. He's absolutely a champ. I'm so curious to see what's going to happen. And I feel like we haven't had back-to-back fights this way where I've been super excited.
Me too.
And the rest of this year is going to be that with Errol and Danny.
Yeah.
Errol and
Danny. Right?
So I always get him and Mikey Garcia, the names mixed up. So we have these fights coming up, and we'll talk about them later on another podcast, but I'm super excited about where boxing is going to, who the young up-and-comers are, and we'll discuss them in another podcast, like the Devin Haney's of the world, the Ryan Garcia's.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Porter is always.
Shakur Stevenson.
Yeah, Shakur, who I freaking love. Man, I think the kid's so talented, so... Yeah, Tank and Leo. You're taking Leo.
Yeah, I just don't have a lot of faith, especially after seeing the Gamboa fight, mm-hmm. where Gamboa blew his ACL out in like the fifth round, and Tank couldn't get him out of there. And yeah, he may think, okay, well,
that's right.
That guy was old, so I didn't train as hard. I'm gonna train for this.
Yeah.
But to be great, you got to bring it every time. That's you right. got to bring the same amount of intensity to a training camp, whether you're fighting Popeye or Brutus. It doesn't that's matter. Right. You know?
Good reference. I like that.
Popeye got spinach.
Who fought Gamboa first, Crawford or
Crawford? Crawford fought him first, and okay. actually Crawford got dropped.
I remember.
And also, that's another fight we can talk about as well as Crawford Brook. That's coming up.
He didn't fall, did he? Crawford? He didn't get knocked down. He just got wobbled.
You know, he went down.
Really?
Yeah. He went down.
Oh, shit, I forgot that.
I had to rewatch it, but I swear he went down.
Okay, I'm going
to
rewatch it now, because it was a hell of a fight. If you've never seen Terrence Crawford and what's Gamboa's
name? Uriokis Gamboa.
Please
go
watch it.
That was a war.
You won't be disappointed, man. It was a fucking war.
That was a war. I could literally hear the brain cells leaving him. That's what did that fight.
Yeah, and we'll talk about him for sure in the upcoming fights, because Terrence Crawford is that dude that either people are avoiding or promoters can't make the fight happen because the fighter doesn't want to take it, but he's exceptional. Exceptional, exceptional.
Yeah, that's another thing we'll talk about, too, is I love Terrence, but I'm so mad he re-signed with Top Rank.
Yep.
And I know there's a loyalty thing, and I don't want to get off topic too much, but
mm-hmm.
I really wish he would have went to the PBC so we could see Terrence Crawford versus Sean Porter, Terrence
right.
Crawford versus Danny Garcia,
that's right.
Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence. Now you're asking Bob Arum to work with
that's
Al Haymon, which is asking Satan to work with
yeah,
Jesus.
That's his
it
name.
Just, it probably
like,
ain't going to work out.
Look, you're not going to hear me talk shit about many people on this podcast because I really respect fighters, even if somebody thinks that they're not as good or they're have an awful personality, because I really respect them. What's his name again?
Bob Arum.
Bob Arum, from what I've known in boxing the last however many years of my life, is just a piece of shit. He just seems like a piece of shit. The shit that he says sounds like a piece of shit. The fighters that he's had in the past just always has some negative shit to say about him. And I believe them. I just feel like he's one of these dudes. And my boy Gingy said it best, that boxing is a poor man's sport. Rich people promote it. Rich people bet on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a poor man's sport. And if you take advantage of these poor men, you're a piece of shit, man, because they're putting their lives on the line for you, man. And it's not a sport where you could blame the quarterback. You can't blame the point guard for not passing. You're in there by your damn self. So to not put these kids in the best position to prosper and to make a lot of money while putting their fucking brains on the line, you're a piece of shit.
And I try not to, as like you do, I try not to go at boxers. And even promoters, I try to chill on that too. But
mm-hmm.
if you want two examples of why I'm not a big fan of Bob Arum as well, look at who he had. He had Floyd Mayweather, the biggest moneymaker in boxing history, and he did nothing to promote him. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to promote him. Second example, he goes out of his way now to trash Manny
yep.
Pacquiao,
mm-hmm.
who made him millions
yep.
and millions of dollars. But now all of a sudden, oh, Manny Pacquiao's washed up.
Mm-hmm.
He's not what he was. He's going to lose.
He just took out a prime fucking Keith Thurman.
Just because he didn't re-sign with you, now all of a sudden he's a different fighter.
Yeah.
No, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you put your promoter hat on, and all of them are sleazy in their own way.
Yeah.
But Bob, I think, is at the point where he's so old, he knows nobody can do anything to him because he's got skin in the game.
Yeah.
So he's just outwardly evil, man.
Yep. And that's the shit that I'm talking about. Everything that you said. And we'll discuss Arum more and other promoters for people that don't understand why big fights don't happen right away. It's just a different time. And like now fighters are getting smart and they have their own promotion companies, which they should. But these older promoters, you know, it's just like any, let's say in my industry, when you have like old school cinematographers and then you have like a young hood dude that just goes out and film everything. They're like, oh, no, you can't do those shots. You can't do that. No, that's not the way film is done. Fuck the way it's done.
Yeah.
If you can do this shit, and if you can make money doing it, and if you can make people happy with these great fights, fucking do it. Don't listen to these old
dudes. The promoters are mad they don't have the power
right.
like they used to have.
That's
because
right.
social media is what gets you the money now.
That's right.
Look at Ryan Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
He's beaten nobody
yep.
of note.
Yep.
But the dude has like 2 or 3 million social media followers.
That's right.
And he's a big name.
Sure.
He's only going to get bigger. So the promoter is not needed the same way. And now they want to be salty about
that's
it.
Right.
Instead of adapting with the times and helping them blossom
mm-hmm.
via help through social media and stuff. Arum's so old and stuck in his ways. He feels like, no, no, no. These are my fighters. Almost like a slave plantation owner.
That's right. And that's what he feels like. I didn't want to say that, but that's what he feels
like. I'm
going to
say it. That's how he looks at it. I feel like he doesn't care about these people outside of boxing. These guys put their lives on the line every time they step through those ropes.
Yeah.
So if you think, from an outsider perspective, oh, he shouldn't be fighting him. He's just doing it for the money. Well, fuck yeah, I'm doing it for the money. I can take one wrong shot and be dead and leave a family with nobody to support them.
That's right.
So, of course, I'm going to go in there and try to maximize what I can make each fight. And the promoter's job should be to make sure I'm able to maximize what I'm going to make each fight.
That's right.
And not pick and choose favorites and decide who they're going to promote and who they're not going to promote based on the fact that, oh, I get a bigger cut from this guy.
If you don't know who Bob Arum is, just think Don King. It's the equivalent of Don King, just an old, what is it?
Only in America.
Yeah. Okay, so, next podcast, more about promoters, more on Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson, these young up-and-coming stars that a lot of people don't know about yet, but you should and you will eventually if these promoters can make these fucking fights happen.
I hope so.
Boxing
needs it. They need a tailwind. Boxing, this sport needs a tailwind.
That's right.
It needs a tailwind. I will leave you with this and I'll let you close it out. I'm curious to see how Tao looks at the weigh-in, because that may change my viewpoint.
Okay.
If his skin doesn't look all pale, he doesn't look sucked in, he doesn't look like Skeletor, I might actually lean back towards Tao. But if he's on there, he's looking like a bag of bones, and he's like struggling to get up there, he's emaciated, and people are having to prop him up to get him to the scale, it's going to be a tough, tough night, because you can't be the bull when the day before you were a bag of bones. You're going to get tired, and you're going to get embarrassed.
Okay, so I got Dale for that fight. You got Lomo. You got Leo.
I'm going to take Leo.
I really like Leo, man. I'm not going to lie, but I'm going to pick Davis for this fight. So we'll see what happens.
We didn't agree yet.
We'll come back. Just so you know, this is my boy for years and years and years. We debate so heated on every topic because we agree 80% of things, but that 20% we're like willing to fucking fight for.
Yeah,
so
we're passionate.
Debate hard on this shit. So this was actually a nice conversation, but as the future goes, I'm sure we'll be fighting.
It'll get more heated. I think because
it'll never come to blows.
Yeah, and I think because we're both on the fence with both these fights,
it's
not as heated as it normally will be. But we'll get there. There's some big fights coming up where we're going to disagree big time.
Yep.
I already know.
So anybody that has an idea about what our show should be called, please drop us a line. What we should have in the background, please drop us a line if you want to promote that.
No news, no dick pics back here.
Keep nobody's mind went there with you, bro.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry.
Yo, thank you guys for listening. For Manny Montana, my boy Willie Mon. We'll see you next time. Peace out.
Peace.